Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shue.
We welcome back to the show this morning, Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg. Dave, it is good to have you back on this morning. I've missed you, my friend.
Ted, I've missed you. Good morning, Fredericksburg. It's been a couple months since we've gotten together on the air.
We have had some schedule, trying to sync up schedules. But you're back on. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll start right off, at least with the heat wave. It doesn't seem to me that computers like heat, and especially this kind of heat.
No, this is crazy heat, and the lawns are all crunchy and dry. I keep waiting for some rain to come through Fredericksburg, but every time I get my hopes up, I see a thunderstorm or a big rain shower headed towards Fredericksburg. It either dissipates right before mm-hmm. it gets to us or breaks into and goes north and south of us, and we're just desperate for some rain right now.
The weather forecast that we just heard talked about the chance of some storms tonight. Is it a good idea when you know bad weather's coming to turn computers off, unplug them, do that kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it's not enough just to turn the computer off. You definitely, if they're calling for thunderstorms and you know a thunderstorm is, you can hear thunder, unplug the computer from the wall or unplug the surge protector from the wall. The surge protectors are better than nothing, but they're a little match against a lightning strike. And I've had equipment fried. I've had $1,000 surge protectors fried by lightning strikes, and they just melted everything. And melted the equipment, the surge protector, everything. So you definitely want to do that. In fact, one time I made a really, really bad error in judgment, thinking I was impervious to anything. I was using a laptop when a thunderstorm was coming through, and it was plugged in. And this was a while back. I remember this happening. Mm-hmm. And there was a lightning strike, and I had my hand on the touchpad of the laptop, and I felt a electric surge coming through the laptop into my hand. I pulled my hand away, and I was like, oh my gosh. I immediately just unplugged the power from the laptop, shut it up, put it on the ground, and I'm like, oh my, I couldn't believe I did that. But I had forgotten and left it plugged in when a thunderstorm was coming through.
See, a lot of people will say, because I've mentioned that, hey, a storm's moving through, you better turn your computer off and unplug it, and they'll say, well, I got a surge protector on it, but you back up what I've always thought.
Yes, a surge protector, like I said, is better than nothing, but against a direct lightning strike nearby, all bets are off. And the only surefire way to protect your equipment is to unplug it completely from the wall.
This kind of heat, now, if you're in an air-conditioned environment, your computer's fine, but if not, it would seem like you don't want to, if whether your house doesn't have air conditioning or your work or it goes out for some reason, computers can really heat up, can't they, with this kind of heat?
Yes, and in fact, server rooms, larger businesses that have their own IT department and their own dedicated server rooms, they can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on cooling systems to keep the server room cool. Mm-hmm. And I've been in many, many of these. They can cost $250,000, $500,000 for the cooling system in these server rooms, and it's very, very important. And a tangent, another note from this, is a lot of people will mistakenly leave laptops, tablets, and even cell phones in their car and go into the store and shop or whatever. It can get 130, 140 degrees in a car in this weather with the windows rolled up. That is really, really bad on electronics, and it might not completely destroy your electronics, but it certainly is not going to help them. And so don't leave laptops, tablets, any electronic device like that in your car during the summertime.
That's a good. I'd never even thought about that with computers or tablets. I know I've occasionally done that with a phone, and you come out and it's it'll tell you it's too hot, and you got to wait for it to cool down. But none of that mm-hmm. can be good for all the inside components.
No. The circuitry is not made for 140 plus degree temperatures, and like I said, most of the time it'll survive. It's definitely not going to help matters, and it's in all likelihood just going to cause it to fail earlier.
So tonight, if you've got your computer, if you've got a computer at your desk at work, knowing that there might be storms or any time during the summer, would you recommend turning your computer off and unplugging it if you can?
Yes. Yep. And I've gone back and forth with so many business owners about this. They're like, we're not going to unplug our computers. We're not turning them off. If we had to do that every time a thunderstorm came through, we'll never get any work done. Well, number one, that's crazy. We don't have thunderstorms 24 hours a day, 365 days a year in Fredericksburg. Number two, all it takes is one time for a business owner to change their mind about that. Let a lightning strike fry their server and their equipment, and they're spending tens of thousands of dollars replacing it, and they're down for a week or two. They will change their mind very quickly after that and start following stricter precautions as far as electricity and lightning strikes and surges.
Well, you're right, because it can really just cause havoc, and it can be days getting, and even sometimes weeks before you get everything back up.
And with electrical surges, Ted, it's really, really hit and miss. We had a lightning strike years ago in back of my house. My wife and I were gone for the weekend, and it blew up a tree about 75 yards from the back of my house. It was a real big tree. It blew it all to bits. Lightning came in our house, or the electric surge came in our house, and one particular room, that was my server room, makeshift server room that I have in my house, and about a $1,200 surge protector and several servers, it fried everything. And we were gone, and we came back. I just couldn't believe what I saw. It melted everything. But the rest of the house was fine. Every single other electric device in the house was fine, except for this one room.
Wow, if you say hit and miss, that does make you...
Yes, yep. With electricity and surges, all bets are off.
And it only takes a few minutes to do that, to turn it off, unplug things, come in the next morning, plug it back in, and you're okay.
Yes, and especially if a big storm's coming, like that derecho several years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, there's virtually 100% chance something really bad's about to happen. Unplug everything. It's hard to do it every time because, like we were talking, these thunderstorms are hit and miss. I've seen over the past week or two probably a dozen thunderstorms headed towards Fredericksburg that either dissipated or moved north or south of us, or just, whatever, skipped right over us and reformed on the other side of us. But when there's a severe weather outbreak around here, definitely unplug everything.
Dave, the computer guy here with Tex in the Berg, texintheberg.com, the website, texintheberg.com. They're on Caroline Street in Fredericksburg. We will continue with Dave when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Chu.
Dave, the computer guy with Tex in the Berg with us this morning. They are at 1025 Caroline Street in downtown Fredericksburg, texintheberg.com. Dave, as we're just talking about your business, boy, COVID-19 has changed everybody and has changed the business, to change the world, and I'm sure that's the same for you.
Yeah, Ted, unfortunately, it's just turned everything upside down, and it's so stressful on everybody. I know so many people in downtown Fredericksburg, so many business owners, and it's just a really tough, sad time for everyone. Everyone's doing the best they can. Some of the businesses that near me that have been closed down. They're reopening and, you know, struggling, trying to do the best they can do. And it's really tough. This just came out of nowhere, and it devastated everybody.
Have you had to renovate your office, change anything, and change how you do things?
Yes. At first, we decided just to open by appointment only to keep people from being on top of each other and to keep, you know, the distance and try to get everyone to wear a mask in the office. Recently, we decided just to renovate the whole office, and we're completely sealing off our lobby from the rest of our office. It's going to be completely virtually airtight, and we're going to install state-of-the-art filtration systems, both in the lobby and the rest of our office, to keep our employees and our customers as safe as possible. And we don't know when this is all going to end, or if it just ends slowly over the next year, or how this is all going to play out. So
yeah.
We basically had to do something. So we decided to bite the bullet and renovate everything.
Well, and I'm sure when your people have to go, because you just to go to work on computers at businesses that you work with, that's all changed too.
That's changed dramatically. Most of the time, we're running here and there doing stuff on site for various law firms, accounting firms all around Northern Virginia, doctor's offices. Now we pretty much only respond to our clients under contract, and those are emergency basis. On an emergency basis, we can remotely access everything from all of our clients. But if there's a hardware failure, then we have to go on site. And we try to keep, you know, our distance, wear masks, wash our hands, do everything we possibly can to keep our employees and the customers safe. It's really tough. It's just crazy right now. Absolutely crazy.
Well, you're such a people person, Dave. That's the thing. There are certain people around town that I just think are really people persons. It's got to be just really tough for you just to be able to really pull back just for safety.
You have to. You have to think not only of your own safety and your family's safety, but the well-being of the community. And because we've had three relatives in North Carolina get this, and they got better and everything, but apparently it was really, really bad, much, much worse than the flu, they said. And it doesn't take much to get, you know, a little slip up. Well, I forgot my mask. It doesn't matter. I'll go in here for a second and get this. Next thing you know, you might get it. You might give it to somebody else in your family or a friend or a coworker or something. And it really, really can get bad, that type of spread. So it is really, really tough. You've always got to be thinking about your surroundings and what you're doing when you're getting gas, when you're getting food, if you're, you know, in a store. And it's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Boy, yeah, you think of it, and especially in your case, when you're dealing with people who drop off computers, and you have, I guess, every time you're dealing with a laptop or a computer, or on the surface there, you have to treat it as though it could be infected.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Even before this hit, we were pretty stringent about cleaning keyboards, mice, just everything on the computer or laptop. Because computers, we've talked about this in previous shows, are one of the dirtiest things you possibly can have. A cell phone or a keyboard or a laptop keyboard are some of the dirtiest things out there. So even before this, we were pretty stringent about cleanliness. After this, we've gone through, I don't know how many spray bottles of Lysol and disinfectant wipes and hand gel sanitizers, and I mean dozens and dozens of these things we've gone through.
Well, and you think about it, when we're all, especially if you're sharing a workspace or you're sharing computers at work, to be very careful about this and to be cleaning just to make sure.
Yeah, like I mentioned, just one slip-up, and that's all it takes, and you might get infected, and then you're going to infect somebody else, then you're wiped out, your business is wiped out, and you infect your family and friends, and it's just, it's tough, it's very stressful being on guard all the time. I mean, it's one thing if you're at home by yourself in a room, there's nothing to worry about there. But when you're out and about in the community and everything, you've always got to be on your guard, and it's just very stressful, and it's very disheartening almost how this just came out of the blue. And, you know, everything was going along pretty well, and then this hits, and wham. And so many people have lost their jobs, and it's just created so much misery. It's unbelievable.
Now I think of you, and you look along Caroline Street, and some businesses haven't reopened, and you know that everyone is struggling right now.
Everyone's struggling. They're trying to come up with ways to stay open, like we did, by appointment only. Others are, you know, are letting just a few people at a time in their stores, keeping their distance, wearing masks, and, you know, just trying to cope and hang on until we can get past this. And I hope this thing will end soon, because it's so hard on these small businesses. With a small business, under the best of times, it's tough to be a small business owner. This just puts an unbelievable burden on small businesses, and it's just really difficult to deal with.
Well, and you know, you talked about just some of the changes that you've had to do in your office, not only how you do things, but just even reconfiguring things. And in a lot of cases, sometimes, you know, doing that kind of thing can cost you some money.
We're spending, tens of thousands of dollars renovating this place and the air filtration and all this stuff. And we're sort of one of the lucky businesses. We were able to stay open during the lockdown, so to speak. A lot of businesses had no choice. They had to shut down.
Yeah.
And those are the ones I feel very, very badly for them. And it's not their fault. This just came out of the blue. And and as they open up, I'm trying to shop at some of these places the most I can, the best I can, and I hope other people do, because they really need help. They really need the support of our community if they're going to make it.
Dave, the computer guy here with Tex in the Berg on News Talk 1230 WFVA. TexInTheBerg.com is the website. One of the things we haven't talked about for a while, and it's one of the things that I have such a hard time with passwords. I don't have a password manager, and every boss I have is always telling me, get a password manager, because I'm always forgetting or losing my password.
Yeah, we have so many problems with passwords in here. And well, not us with passwords, but customers with passwords. When you enter a password, when you type it in, it becomes second nature. And while you're typing on the keyboard, it's very easy to remember it. It's just repetitive habit. When you're not typing on the keyboard and you have to tell someone else what your password is so they can get into your computer, It changes things an awful lot. All of a sudden, people don't know what their password is, and they're going through like a dozen different passwords trying to figure it out. And passwords are a big problem. You've got them for everything. If you do online banking, if you have an online stock account with a brokerage firm, Google, email, or Yahoo, or what, you can have a dozen different passwords. Some people even have more than that, and it can be very cumbersome. And that's where these password managers can be a lot of help.
Are most of these password managers, you can just get them as an app?
Yeah, they're basically just a little program, basically, that is put on your computer. There's Dashlane, 1Password, the numeral 1Password, and that's a good one. I've seen several clients using those, RoboForm, NordPass. There's a bunch of different ones. They're not expensive, just a few dollars a month generally, and you'll have 1Password to access that. Then it stores and encrypts all your other passwords and automatically enters them. So if you have, you know, like I said, a dozen or two dozen different accounts with all kinds of large, long, complex passwords, this can really save you a lot of grief.
Well, and speaking of grief, if you don't have a complex password, that can cause problems. I'm thinking that you're going to tell me that Dave12345 is not a good password.
No, and do not use the word password and just type it in password for your email password and think that's good enough. And beyond a large, you know, like a 14 or 16 character password, upper, lower case letters, numerals, special characters, you want to change the password fairly frequently, every month or two. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes these passwords get out. And they get on the dark web, and, you know, somebody may have not have already hacked your email or whatever account yet, but sooner or later, if you use it long enough on the internet, it's going to wind up on the dark web. There's a good chance of that. And so constantly change your passwords every month or two, long, complex passwords. And that's about all you can do to be as safe. I can't stress enough how important it is to constantly change the password.
And you talk about that, and I'm sure you've seen on the flip side just the horror sometimes and just the amount of time and energy and money it costs when you do get hacked by some of these groups.
We've had people get their bank accounts cleaned out. Their email hacked, and people send all kinds of horrible emails from their email accounts to their clients, and some scary stuff that will destroy someone's reputation and destroy their business or their personal finances, and it can cause all kinds of havoc. And, you know, a credit monitoring service is a good idea for a lot of people, especially if they do online banking, online stock trading, that kind of thing, and long, complex passwords, and change them frequently.
Well, and especially with so many people working from home right now, perhaps you're...
It's even got worse.
Yeah.
Yes, it's even got worse because everyone is on the computers a lot more, checking their bank accounts, their email, the stocks, everything, from home. And the cyber criminals are just having a field day.
Well,
and so...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So just, you know, it's up to everyone. It's their individual responsibility to create a long, complex password and to change it frequently.
Now, and this, like you say, you're on and they're out prowling for you. And just even those, it's easy to get sucked in sometimes. You see a program that says, you know, hey, you know, the false and the fake kind of emails you get and respond to, it's easy to fall prey to those sometimes.
And Ted, a lot of it happens during search, whether you're searching on Google or Yelp or however you're searching on the internet, Yahoo, or Microsoft, and you can I've had people do a search for to download like a web browser, whether it's Google Chrome or Firefox or whatever, and it'll come up and it'll have a list of different things, you know, the search results. They'll choose one without looking at the link or what it actually is they're double-clicking on. It just looks like, okay, well, I'm going to download Firefox. And they click on it. Next thing they know, they got a virus, and it messes up their computer, steals everything off of it, or they are doing a search for their bank, and they want to log on to their bank account from a new computer or whatever that they haven't used before. They'll type in whatever bank name, a list will come up. They'll choose the wrong one, enter their username and password. It looks real. The site looks real. They're very good at copying these sites. And next thing I know, someone's got their bank account information. Mm. And you can't be too careful.
Dave the Computer Guy here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Again, techsintheburg.com. Techsintheburg.com. They are located on Caroline Street in downtown Fredericksburg. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Dave, the computer guy, in this morning. It is Tex in the Berg. We are getting all kinds of good information from Dave this morning. Again, TexInTheBerg.com is the website, TexInTheBerg.com. Or if you want to shoot him a question, support at TexInTheBerg.com and find out more about what they all have to offer. Dave, as we talk about just the technology, I mean, every time you're in and we talk about something, it's amazing the advances that we see, and one of them is just the batteries, the lithium-ion batteries that our laptops and things have right now. That's amazing stuff right there.
It is, Ted. And a long time ago, you know, the average battery life on a laptop might have been 30 minutes, hour and a half. Now, with some of these very high-capacity lithium-ion batteries, it's not unusual. We have clients, you know, working 8, 10, 12 hours a day on a laptop unplugged. And so that's pretty neat stuff that you have 8 or 10 hours of battery life on a laptop. And we were talking during the break about, you know, not only are they used in laptops, they're in, you know, hybrid cars, the Tesla, you know, all these battery powered cars, a lot of them have lithium ion batteries in them. And there's other, you know, fuel things, not obviously used in computers, but we were talking about these little forklifts that scoot around in the warehouses of like Walmart,
yeah,
and some other big retailers that are using hydrogen fuel cells. And there's a company in the Northeast called Plug Power that manufactures a lot of these. And I've been looking into that lately. I just became curious about it, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty neat. And it saves a lot of money, and it's a lot better than, you know, you can't really use indoors a gasoline engine in a warehouse.
Sure.
They have to be some alternative energy. So the lithium ion and hydrogen fuel cells are a big part of that. And we were talking during the break also about, okay, well, we have all these lithium ion batteries in the hybrid cars and in laptops, and you know, there's very few places that actually recycle them properly. They wind up in the dump, and there's literally tens and tens of thousands of these every year, or probably hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, that end up in the dump. And there's going to be a lot of new upstart companies in the near future. I know of one or two right now that will be extracting the precious metals from these lithium-ion batteries from Tesla's plants on the West Coast and some other places, and trying to extract the precious metals and recycle what they can, and then properly dispose of what's not recyclable. And that's going to be a really, really big thing in the future as more and more electric cars hit the road, more and more people are using laptops and other battery-operated devices with lithium ion. And I suspect in the real near future there's going to be some big breakthroughs as far as battery technology that will last much, much longer, and probably like some holy cow game-changing breakthroughs as far as battery technology. So the next few years are going to be really, really big for batteries, I think.
And again, it's a good reminder that when you do change those out, don't just toss them into the landfill, recycle them.
No, do the best you can to recycle them. We don't want computers, laptops, and the batteries in a landfill leaching out everything into the earth. That's the absolute worst thing we could do. And with our customers, we tell them, you know, they ask how much to recycle. If they're already a customer of ours, we do it out of courtesy, and we don't want this stuff in the landfill leaching into the ground and the groundwater. And that's just, it's heartbreaking. It's bad enough, you know, how polluted the earth has got. When we do things like this that are unnecessary, it's just horrible.
What's your advice, Dave, as far as batteries goes? Because sometimes I'll be, I'll start getting alerts on my computer that my battery, as it gets older, if you'd want to keep your computer, is it a good idea to get a new battery?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And batteries, lithium-ion batteries, when they start going bad, usually 2, 3, 4 years out is the lifespan of an average, like, laptop battery.
Yeah.
And they can become a little dangerous, actually. I've had batteries blow up in our office. I've had them blow up, catch fire, and burn up things. And they can become unstable. And yes, when after a little bit of time, 2, 3, 4 years, if the battery's not holding the charge like it used to, yes, that's the time to have your battery checked and possibly have it replaced. It's generally most of them aren't that expensive, and most of them are easy to replace. Some are, especially with the Macs, are a little bit more difficult, and they actually glue some of their batteries into their MacBooks, which I don't understand that, but they glue them in. And but generally, they're fairly easy to replace. Some are they just pop right out and you just put in a new one. And inexpensive, and you definitely want to keep an eye on that because they can become unstable.
Interesting, and I did not know that, but that does make sense. With a lot of these kind of things, when you start having alerts kind of pop up, it's easy to just ignore that kind of thing, but it can bite you.
Yes, batteries can be dangerous. I never forget years ago the first time a battery blew up in my office. It was an old battery. It needed to be replaced and became unstable. It actually blew up and caught fire right in front of me, and I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, that it, under different circumstances, it could burn a place down. It was that bad. And so, and that's why batteries, especially like on airlines and everything, for a large segment of it, I think they're banned. And when batteries travel now, they have most often lithium ion or on trucks, not in airlines.
Yeah. So as we talk about just how batteries have kind of evolved and the technology there, anything new with the central processing units and things like that with computers? Everything seems to be getting faster and smaller, and you sit back in amaze sometimes at what we're looking at.
I tell you, Ted, things have gotten so fast with computers, and it wasn't that long ago, at least it doesn't seem that long ago to me, you know, they had the Pentium 3s and the Pentium 4s, the old 486 computers and everything. Now you've got these Intel Core i9 processors, the Ryzen 9 processors, that just blazing speed, and the prices have come down so much. A few years ago, to get a really top-level I call them a residential CPU, not a business Xeon processor, but a residential, like, gaming CPU, you could spend $1,000, $1,500 or something on a real high-end one. For $500 now, or less than $500, you can get something that just screams, and you put that with a good graphics card and your motherboard, and it used to be, you know, we've built $15,000 gaming computers in here. It would be hard-pressed to spend that kind of money right now. Realistically, you can build a really, really screaming gaming computer for about $2,500 to $3,500 that will just – that. The person who's using it is going to be the slowest part of it.
Well, you must. I know we talk about this often, just about how the technology and how these units continue to just increase in speed and capacity and things. Just it's especially for you, someone who's been there from really almost the start.
Yes, from the original IBM computer. Then in the 90s, I remember I had a nice 386, or actually a 286 and a 386 and a 486 computer, which at that time was virtually state-of-the-art. We just didn't realize what was to come and how slow the stuff at that time was compared to what we were going to have. And now, you know, just a little, like a little flash drive is like 20 or 50 or 100 times bigger than the big old hard drives of the past. And that first IBM PC had an external hard drive. It was about the size of a shoebox, and I think it was 10 megabytes of storage in it. And it's crazy. Now, you know, you get a 128 gig flash drive for 25 or 30 bucks or something.
Wow. Mm. You still 3 to 4 years on a computer when you need to start thinking about, you know, replacing one?
Yeah, things have are changing so fast. I know I've talked about this before on other shows. It, you know, 20 years ago, I would tell people, buy the best thing you can afford and keep it for as long as possible. Now, generally, it's flipped over on the other side. It's buy, you spend the least amount of money for the computer that will do the job, because in a few years, it's going to be a paperweight anyway. The technology is changing so fast, and if everything keeps getting cheaper and faster and yep. smaller. And there's no sense in spending a ton of money on something that you're going to get rid of in 4 or 5 years.
Mm. Dave, the computer guy, texting the Berg, our focus this morning. Dave's at 1025 Caroline Street in downtown Fredericksburg. Textintheberg.com. We will wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the computer guy with Tex in the Berg in downtown Fredericksburg here this morning. Textintheberg.com is the website to find out information and how you navigate in these coronavirus days. Dave, tell me about this. There's a high-speed autonomous race at the Indy 500 Speedway. We've talked about this, you and I, off air, and this makes me nervous.
Yeah, this is sort of a neat segue coming from lithium-ion Tesla batteries and with Tesla cars. We're going to autonomous driverless cars in an Indianapolis 500 race next year. A bunch of universities and high-tech companies are going to be sponsoring a sort of an impromptu, I think it's a 20-lap race around the Indianapolis 500 Speedway. You know, it's not the Indianapolis 500 race. It's going to be separate from that. But
yeah.
they're going to go, I think, 20 laps, average speed just over 100 miles an hour, possibly at peak close to 200 miles an hour with driverless cars. And Ted and I were talking during the break. You know, it makes me nervous if I was in a vehicle and – you don't have to touch the steering wheel, the gas, or brake, or nothing, and it's just doing its thing. Coming up to an intersection, and there's people and bicycles and people on bicycles and stuff, I would be scared to death. And I know it's the thing of the future, that's the direction everything is going,
yeah.
is the driverless cars. I'm not ready for it yet, though. I don't think a lot of people are. And when I saw this race, I'm like, gosh, I hope they televise it. We have to see this. A bunch of, like, 30 driverless cars going upwards of 200 miles an hour at the Indianapolis 500 Speedway.
Well, I guess if nothing else, it's a commercial for the fact that, you know, here's the technology and it can do this. But I'm totally with you.
Yeah, and maybe by the time we get to the point where they're everywhere, you know, we'll be more accustomed to it. And we won't be so nervous and afraid of this type of technology, but. Yeah, it's still, I think, a little ways off. I don't have a comfort level with that kind of technology yet, and I think a lot of people are the same. We're just not ready for that. But as time goes by, I'm thinking the next 10 or 15 years, that's where everything's going to be going, is these driverless battery-powered cars, basically. And my wife always told me years ago, she envisions one day we'll be like the Jetsons. And so I think we might be headed that direction. We'll have a robot and the treadmills that take us, you know, walk moving sidewalks that take us everywhere. And maybe we'll all just live in elevated apartments and
Have robots that clean our houses and things like that.
Yes, yep, and meals that come from like a pill or something that turn into food or something. But yeah, things there's going to be some big changes in the next 10 or 15 years, and people got to get ready for them.
Well, and speaking of just the technology and moving in a certain direction, you think about the technology and how it's changed about how, so, you know, a year ago today, if you and I were sitting in the studio across from each other talking about Zoom meetings, nobody would have known what we were talking about, and now everybody does.
Yeah, everyone's on Skype and Zoom from home, remoted into their computers using various, you know, log me in or go to my PC or remote desktop or whatever, VPNs to get into their work computers and sharing things. And actually with some of my relatives that are out of town that we can't see because of the coronavirus, we'd love to go and visit them, but we can't. So we're going to set up a Zoom meeting one weekend coming up. We're going to have all our family and relatives on a big Zoom conference meeting and get to see and talk to everyone. So that's what a lot of people are resorting to. They can't be around people, and it's definitely strange.
Well, and I found it interesting last week in watching the Spotsylvania School Board as they were working on how they're going to do school in Spotsylvania. And the superintendent, Dr. Baker, was talking about the fact that because of the technology and the things that we're doing, that he envisions we're much closer to the day when there may never be, you know, snow days anymore where you can do things from home.
I do think that might be the case, especially when, you know, if the weather is bad and it's actually physically dangerous to for the kids to go to school. I'm hoping this virus, abates some in the near future and get the kids back to school, because, you know, they can do a lot of stuff from home as far as with the technology and learning from home, but they're missing out all the social things and the camaraderie with their classmates and the socialization, and that's a big part of school to me, and that's all gone right now. So I'm really hoping, you know, something, a vaccine or something comes along fast to get everything back on track.
Boy, and I hope it gets on track, because I need you in the studio with me, Dave. I've missed you. I haven't seen you in a lot of months now.
Yes, it's been a few months, and just about, I think, was it the last show that we did where right before we came on the air, we decided to talk about cleaning computers with this
horrible
virus really rearing its ugly head.
Yep, that was it. It was in March,
that was the last show. Wow,
it's been a long time. Great to have you here this morning, though. Again, Dave, the computer guy with Techs in the Berg, techsintheberg.com. Check them out and see what they have to offer. Dave, looking forward to talking to you again next month. Thanks for all the info this morning.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Fredericksburg. I'll talk to everyone in a few weeks.
WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.